Okay, we're good.
All right. Okay, so we're going to call the order. We'll do a roll call. We've got Christian here, Larry, John,
not yet,
Wilma,
here,
Ricky,
here.
Okay, so now it's the Pledge of Allegiance. But everybody will stand with me. Thanks.
My flag. Do you want me to give you a flag?
Yes, ma'am.
Hang on. Share screen. Flag. Tell me if you're seeing the flag.
I am.
Okay, good. Okay.
Go ahead.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next time we're going to remember for everybody to mute.
Oh, yeah, that helps.
Let me stop sharing in a second here. Okay.
Okay. So I have an approval of the agenda. Can I get a motion?
I make a motion we approve the agenda as presented.
Thank you, Ricky. I'll second. All in favor via roll call? Christian? Aye. Larry?
Aye.
John? Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you.
I'm going to make note in our record that at 5:51, John joined us. He hasn't unmuted yet, but I see he's in our room now.
Okay. So next we have our consent agenda. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Was that Larry?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second it, John.
Thank you, John. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry?
I have to abstain. I wasn't there at that meeting.
Okay. Didn't Larry make the motion?
Yeah.
Okay. John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, so we have public comment. Do we have public?
We do not, and no one has joined our meeting as public either, so.
Okay, we'll move on.
There's no public.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we are on to our reports. Do any of the board members have a report?
Nothing for me.
I'm good.
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 Wilma?
Nothing.
Okay. Executive Director.
Now, if I could ask you to allow Nick out of order, not that I don't want him to stay, but, you know, he might want to get out of here sooner than later. So is that all right, Christian?
Of course.
Okay. Of course. Because he's information item B, just an update on the USDA process and to give us an update on the well project over on the other property. Okay. So there you go, Nick.
All right, there we go, unmuted. So for USDA, we've got most of the items that have been requested for the loan package have been submitted. There's a couple remaining things that are required for the financial feasibility report that I know Sherry's just wrapping up. There's a couple items for what they call the preliminary architectural report that need to be clarified. But for the most part, I would say we probably got 95% of what USDA is requiring to get the final okay has been submitted. The biggest hurdle I think we have right now is that there is a fuel tank that was on the property at one point that was utilized for filling the buses, I believe. And it was abandoned sometime back in 1991, I believe it was. But because the phase one environmental report noted that there was a tank on the property, we need to, USDA is going to require us to prove that that doesn't negatively affect the value and that they might, you know, so that they don't become liable for taking care of that either in the future or should the property revert back to USDA. What that means is because of the coronavirus, we weren't able to get a lot of information from the State Department of Toxic Control, I believe it's called. They just weren't in the office. The phase one folks have reached out again this week to see where they're at, because I believe they're back in now, and to see what information they might have that either says that it was properly abandoned, tested, whatever was needed to happen in order to get it fully certified that it's clean. If they don't have that information, what we would likely need to do is go out and do soil sampling and actually dig around where the tank was, do some investigation to see if there was any leakage associated with the tank. If there's no leakage, we're fine. If there was any leakage, we may have to remove the tank and the contaminated soil until that whole contamination is gone, fill it back up with either new soil or sand or something else. And then we can get that comment removed off the environmental report to move forward on the financing. I'm hoping that we can get that done here in the next 2 to 4 weeks. Hopefully we can get that information from the state so we won't have to do any investigation. But if we do need to do some investigation, I would assume that we can probably get that done in 2 to 4 weeks to get that item checked off of USDA's list.
So does that mean, Nick, that the project with USDA's approval will still be pending before they can actually send it off for that approval process?
I think that they're going to get all the approvals necessary from the state office. It still does, some of it has to go to the national office, but it sounds to me that they can get pretty much everything approved kind of contingent upon that. But I tried to get confirmation from Mike on that, but he's out of the office now. But the last time I spoke with him, it sounded like that shouldn't hold the process up as long as we can show that that's not an issue. And whichever way, one way or the other, we can show that it's not an issue by like I said, either having the test results or the reporting from the state or by doing the soil sampling. There is obviously a concern if it was leaking and it was leaking for a long time, that contamination could get extensive, which could be expensive. I'm hoping that's not the case, but we won't know until we either find information from the state or do some sampling.
Nick, I have a question. Obviously, that's on our dime, but are we going, it's pretty optimistic, 2 to 4 weeks. Somebody's going to have to come do that, that's certified and all this. Is that going to be an issue, getting somebody to actually come up there and dig it up and the right personnel? How's that going to work?
So my concern, you're correct in that I don't know if we can actually get it all removed at that point. What I'm hoping for is we'll know whether we have an issue within 2 to 4 weeks. It kind of depends again on how, if there is an issue and we do have contamination, how far that contamination goes. And it's just like, kind of like dry rot in a house. You got to keep testing the farther back you go until you don't have an issue anymore. The folks that we had do the phase one, GES Environmental, it doesn't sound like they're going to have an issue getting up there fairly quickly, within a week to 2 weeks when we pull the trigger.
They're in Reno, right?
Correct.
So.
Correct. What we will need to do is get somebody out there with either a backhoe or a drill rig. I'm thinking we can probably, if anybody knows a backhoe operator locally that could come out there and do some test holes or whatnot, that would probably be the most cost effective rather than having a drill rig drive out from Reno. So if it comes to needing to do actual soil sampling, having somebody that can do some backhoe work locally would be great.
But we don't know that they're going to require that yet, right?
Correct.
Hey, Nick, I thought I read to where it said that tank was filled up with sand.
It was, but they don't have any of the records that were associated with it from the state. Again, I'm going to say the wrong name, but I believe it's the State Office of Toxic Substances. The information we have is from the State Department of Water Resources. And I would hope that when they did that work, because they were still pretty stringent back in the early 90s on regulations, I would hope that that information was sent to DTSC, I believe it is the short acronym. We just don't know what that is because they haven't been able to respond because of the coronavirus. So I'm hopeful that we won't have any issue considering that they didn't go through a proper process to have it abandoned, but I can't guarantee that in any way at this point.
We definitely have papers now that were filed, and they look appropriately filed from that 1991 that said the tank was closed and filled with sand, aggregate material, whatever it's Nick.
Correct. Yeah. So considering they went through that process, I am I'm hopeful that there's no issues. The only concern that I noted is that in that paperwork, it shows they have to do an inventory on tanks, and that, you know, you use so many gallons to fill up a bus or whatever it was, then you fill it up with new fuel and you've got to keep that inventory. And if there's, you know, shrinkage or loss in that inventory of the tank, that's either due to either poor record keeping or leakage. So there is issues with some of that inventory that it's not matching up properly. And I'm just hoping it's from poor record keeping rather than some sort of leakage in the tank. But again, we just won't know until we get some more information from the state. And again, my thought is because they didn't have to go do anything in 1991 when they closed it out, that there should have been no leakage. They should have tested something. But I won't know for I won't know for a little while, and I can't even give you a timeline yet because I haven't heard back from the consultants on what if they've been able to get a hold of the state yet and what their timeline would be. You know, they've been closed for quite a while. I don't know what their backlog is. So it may even come down to saying, hey, we just need to do some soil sampling because it's going to be faster and easier to do that. And I don't think it's going to be a terribly large cost. And it might just be worth doing that instead of waiting for, say, a month to wait on the state. Again, these are just hypotheticals at this point, though. I should probably know more in the next, beginning of next week, I would think, at least on that topic.
And so the other part that's an issue right now is our application for the use permit is on hold, correct?
Yeah, and we should have all the responses, I would think, by the end of the day tomorrow. I'm not really concerned by any of the items that were on there. The only one was the parking, and I'd had a conversation with the county that their parking requirements are a little overboard. Based on the exact letter of the code, you would have to have somewhere in the range of 140 parking spots to build the gym building that we've proposed, but that's just not reasonable or feasible. And they said that they can have some flexibility in that. So, and the way that they wrote the letter as well, I think it was specifically written in a way to be liberal on how the square footage are calculated, and the parking spots are based on the square footage. So I just have to be a little creative on how we're listing what those square footages are for certain uses.
So the other, that was your part of the use permit had to do with parking spots. But the part I have concern about is, did he not mention that no one at this point is even authorized to make that application because there's an issue with ownership?
I think that's just a screw up in their records. I think at some point the property's changed hands, however it is. And I think the county records are just out of date. So I haven't dived into that yet, but I don't think that's going to be an issue.
Okay.
No, I could be mistaken, but
you and I need to have a serious conversation maybe about that. Cause
yeah, I've seen this happen before where the county has their records are out of date when it comes to how the ownership is listed, but it could be something more than I'm assuming, but I think it's a less of an issue than say like the tank issue.
Okay. So we got some issues. We're kind of stalled a little bit.
Hey, Nick and Sherry, don't you think it would make more sense just to wait and see about that paperwork opposed to we get somebody in there drilling samples and drilling sample holes and this and that and whatever?
Oh, we're waiting, John.
Yeah, I'd much rather just get the paperwork, but it comes down to what's more important for you guys on timelines. on if we want to wait or if the time is worth more than, you know, if the sampling costs $1,000, is a month worth $1,000? And those are the things that we've got to determine, what the timelines are going to be and what the costs may be. And I should have that information by the beginning of next week. I would hope, again, that we can get the paperwork. It's much easier, but if it's 2 to 3 months to get that, mm-hmm. then maybe right. we want to go somewhere else. But I'm hoping that's not the case. I just wanted to bring it up that that might be a direction you may want to go.
Okay.
And you want to talk about the well? Yeah, for the well, we got approval from Department of Water Resources, at least a verbal approval on the phone about sole sourcing with Beckett Well Drilling. I think they're the ones that we want to go with. He seems to be the most responsive, and he's been working with us for quite a while, and DWR said we didn't need to go out to bid for it. The proposal is very affordable for what we're getting. And so we've got in the board packet, I believe, their proposal for the test well. And what we want to do is go with the 6-inch test well that can be utilized if it meets all of our requirements. We can utilize that as the actual well for the domestic water. And then if we do another well for irrigation for future use, we would, you know, put it next, you know, somewhere in the immediate vicinity. But the caveat there is if something is drilled and you don't get the flow you require, and we need to go somewhere else, it's going to be the same price again for another borehole. Again, this all gets covered by DWR. Long Valley has to come out of pocket to pay the bill up front and then gets reimbursed from DWR. It's about let's just say 60 to 90 day process to get reimbursed. But DWR will cover all the costs for that. And so my recommendation would be to approve that contract. We can go get those holes done. Once those holes are done, we will take that information and give it to the engineer. The engineer will finish the plans. Those plans will be sent to DWR for approval. And then we will enter into a new contract to actually complete the wells.
So Nick, if two holes had to be drilled, would they cover both of the holes?
For the test well, we only need one. And as long as that test well shows that we have enough flow in that area, then we're confident that there's not going to be any issue with another well adjacent to that one. It's more if there's no water for the well that's there and we need to go to a different location on the property, then it's going to be the same price again somewhere else. And Mr. Beckett did say that he did find out recently, like this was just earlier this week when I spoke with him, he'd heard about some sort of issue on that site with a well that was installed that didn't get the flow rates that they wanted. And he didn't know any details about it. He just kind of heard about it through the grapevine. But it could be because it wasn't deep enough. There could be a lot of issues associated with it. But again, whatever happens, there's plenty of money in that grant to cover what we need to do. So I'm not too concerned about the finances with making this all work.
Okay.
I believe the total package for the well by itself was somewhere in the range of $60,000 if it goes kind of according to plan, and there's $400,000 in grant money there to cover. So what the plan is, try to do some other, that doesn't include PG&E or some other construction costs, but I would like to try to utilize as much of that $400,000 as possible for other expenses. Maybe upgrading some power to the property, doing some site work, doing whatever else may be required in that area for future use.
For our future CTE projects, the farm to table catering company.
So yeah, anything that we can use that money for, you know, we want to spend all $400,000 if possible. It just has to be, we just have to somehow attribute it to the well in it. It sounds like they're fairly liberal on how they will attribute it, but parking area, grading, access to a well, I think we can be fairly liberal on how that's utilized.
Okay. Other questions for Nick, you guys?
So, and then finally, I did ask our USDA rep what our timeline would be looking like to get a formal approval for the loan once we get him all the required information, which, like I said, should be here fairly quickly. He said he thought about 2 to 3 months, which is unfortunately longer than I was hoping for. He says he's got some several other projects that he's trying to wrap up, and he's just, it's just a realistic timeline, 2 to 3 months. So I would think that we would be able to get all the final information to him here in the next week or two, with the exception of possibly the tank issue. And so that puts us out towards the end of summer for getting formal approval, which puts us in a bit of an awkward timeline to try to actually get things going for this year and push it. Well, either way, it'd probably be pushing us out till we'd probably be looking at starting construction in the spring or summer of next year. My thought is we shouldn't have any issues getting all the construction work we want done during the summer break that you'll have next summer. So that's kind of my goal. I think that's about wraps up all the information I have.
Okay.
Thank you, Nick. So,
thank you, Nick.
All right, no problem.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Sherry, do we want to go back up to your item B, executive director report?
Actually, Candace has been in the room waiting to give her report. We try to accommodate her at 6, so if you don't mind letting her do finance.
Of course not.
Candace, are you hearing us? There we go.
Hi.
Hey.
I'll be quick so that you can get back to your agenda item. How's everyone?
Good.
Good.
Pretty much nodding. Okay.
Okay. So I'm starting on page 61. I'm assuming we're all on the same page in the packet for Long Valley.
Yes.
So this presentation includes the July budget. So each year, charter schools approve their annual operating budgets by July 1. This budget has been updated at 2 points throughout the year to reflect any changes since budget adoption. So I think I briefly mentioned before I hopped off the last call that the governor's May revise actually did include a 10% revenue reduction. But what I didn't mention was, in addition to that revenue reduction, the final 3 months of next fiscal year will include revenue deferrals. So based on the May revised revenue assumptions noted, an additional one-time learning loss allocation for Doyle only, and the reason this is for Doyle only is because it's only specific to seniors, as well as an expenditure adjustment to minimize the impact of the revenue cuts. This report reflects a budget surplus for year 1 and 2, and then a deficit for year 3. Cash reserves are supported.
You know, we keep losing you for a moment there, Candace.
You're losing my voice, or you're losing?
Well, it's kind of blipping, and we're not hearing you for little moments.
Okay.
So maybe just slow down your pace a little bit, because is everyone clear on what she said? Maybe it's only me hearing blips.
I've gotten a couple blips. I just didn't realize it was her.
Okay.
Okay. Would you prefer that I start over, or?
You're all saying go.
All right. So with all of these moving parts, the revenue reduction, as well as the revenue deferrals for next year, cash reserves are sufficient to sustain us throughout that period. So sorry, that was my dogs. And we expect that due to the rapidly changing conditions of COVID, that the first interim budget may contain material revisions to revenue.
And that's in October, right?
Yes, it'll cover actuals through October, so the timeline for the new budget adoption would be by December 15.
Okay. So by then we'll have a much better idea of what they're actually going to give us for our ADA count.
Right. And also keep in mind, too, here, I failed to point out that the USDA loan is included within this budget. So
we were
payments on that loan are included in there.
Right.
And we'll be able to probably will not be spending that for some chunk of time here, because apparently we're at least 3 months away from an approval. So
yeah, I think I included the amount starting in October.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Great.
Any questions on Long Valley?
Okay.
All right, well, on to Thompson Peak. Thompson Peak is similar, of course, in terms of the revenue reduction and the revenue deferrals. The difference here is that we're actually anticipating a surplus for the next 3 years with Thompson Peak. And part of the reserve that we are accumulating over the next 3 years is going to be set aside for the facility purchase. And right now we're estimating that's going to be about $500,000.
Right, so we're putting that money away each year so that we hopefully have $500,000 in reserve to purchase the building.
Correct. Now, you know, if for some reason deferrals, you know, roll over into that facility purchase year, you know, people may have to entertain like a short-term financing option to sustain the cash reserve levels. But of course, we won't know until the first interim budget around October.
Okay. And Candace, I know this is not part of what you were planning, but we have an agenda item E about rescinding an order to offer to purchase the property in Portola.
Okay.
That was a $95,000 offer we made. Mm-hmm. And I happen to know that Jared's going to speak against that and try to convince the board otherwise. So I want to ask you, what impact, if the board decided to spend $95,000 purchasing that building, you know, what's the cash? And that would be a Long Valley school purchase. How are we on cash if that cash was reduced?
So as of this report, let's see here. So we're estimating that Long has about $1.8 million in cash at the beginning of July of this year. So it would be a reduction to the 1.8 by 95,000.
Okay. So that's good.
Yeah, and the monthly operating cost for Long Valley is about $229,000. So the 95K is, you know, far below that. So it would impact cash reserve by less than a month. So you're still okay in terms of your reserves if you were to move forward with that.
And again, I don't know where that'll go, but I thought it was worthwhile we had you on the phone to take a peek at that. Thank you. Any other Candace questions?
I'm good. Thank you, Candace.
You're welcome.
Sorry to keep you waiting, kiddo. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye. Okay.
Okay, Sherry, what are we doing?
Now me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. I figure our employees can wait their turn, but those folks from outside, I wanted to let them say their thing. These guys are interested in everything we're doing, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I did submit a report to you. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to look at it. I told you about our end of year wrapping up. It does have to do with getting to spend some time with staff. We've had a couple committees come together to really have some good conversations and some input and do some planning. You know, the reopening planning meetings that we were having on Fridays, and I think I told you about that last time, but they went on. And we finally got to a point where we did a survey, took that information in, and realized there's just too much information moving around. You know, it's such a moving target that we would put it off. And I want you to know that the the leaders, the site administrators and MISTI, actually were in agreement that they would switch their summer schedule around. So typically they work through the end of this month and have most of July off and then come back right at the beginning of August. And they agree to kind of shorten that up. Well, they'll still have their weeks off, but they've switched it around so that they're back by, I think it's the 17th of July, so that we can hopefully put together that reopening better defined. And we let parents know that it would be toward the end of July before we let them know what school would look like based on the most current information at that time. So I'm grateful that they did that because I really need and want their input on that. We had a couple days of staff in services that I think went really well. Teachers really rolled up their sleeves and got some writing of curriculum done and learned some things. And I thought it was good. We had two speakers during that time and they were, you know, had good influence. I talked about Nick and what's going on. Quite honestly, I think the ownership thing is an issue until we can find the information. And I think it's still part of, you know, some of the COVID issues of people not being in offices to try to get somebody who can look up information and share it with us. So, you know, that's still an issue. I spend so many hours with the CPA, and I have to admit that I have those moments of like, okay, it's time. And because it's, you know, it's detailed, it's long. I mean, as a CPA is, you know, he looks very deeply at every number. And, you know, it's a good challenge to be able to defend what we've done or what we're doing, or, you know, to help him understand that our population usually grows during the year. So when you look at enrollment in October and then you look at the ADA average, they don't make sense because we've had growth all year. So it's been interesting. You know, we loaned computers, everybody collected computers. So there's some sorting of material, you know, weeding out anything that didn't make it because it was already too many years old and didn't make it beyond the loan. And then the really exciting news for me is that on Tuesday, the State Board of Ed has an advisory council for charter schools, and they meet every other month from the State Board. They met, considered our funding determination, and approved it. The only dissenting vote, there was one dissenting vote. And I want you to know, the state recommended we get 100% financing for funding for the 2 years, which is the most they're going to give a new school. And there was another school there who they recommended 70% funding. So besides all the cuts, they did not meet those percentages. So yikes. Good for us. You know, we've been on our hiring mission to bring staff into our buildings that based on folks who left. It's getting close to being done. We actually offered a position to someone from the Philippines for up in Susanville. So that fellow is working on getting his visas and paperwork done, but he's kind of excited to come and teach in the United States. They'll do a visa, I think, for 2 years. We could choose not to keep him the second year if he's not great, but one of the things we've made these candidates do, all of them, with being virtual right now, is they have to teach a virtual lesson to a student, which can be a challenge for someone you don't know. Here you go. And I guess, Kelly, what did you think?
I thought he did really well. They all did really well. It was really interesting, and I know it's been different than what we've done in the past, but the students and the families were just really for it, and so were the interviewees. Like, it was pretty seamless. It was good. I thought it was good.
So So Kelly has all three of her positions covered now. We've offered, two of them have accepted, and this fellow from the Philippines is has to get his visa before he's accepted the job, but we are not doing an agreement until he has all the right paperwork. And then here in Doyle, we needed three people. You want to give everyone an update, Misty? You're hiring. Give us a hiring update.
So we have one hire, Caitlin Crackers. She's been in touch constantly, like, what do I do with lesson plans? Like, you know, so she's really excited and ready to go. We have one that we've offered the position. We should hear from him by tomorrow, actually. And then we have one we're in the interview process for, and another one we're getting ready to set up an interview for.
Great.
And I heard some good things. So on that one that we're going to set an interview up for. So.
Oh, good. Okay. Excellent. Excellent. So.
Teachers.
Yeah. We're only talking teachers right now. Yeah. Okay. So that's my report.
All right. Thank you, Sherry. So we did our finance. So now we're on to informational items. We already did B with Nick. So we have the survey results and summary.
And I sent those to all of you. I think it's worthy of a read to just see the feedback we got. I think it was really positive overall from our families. You know, we saw that the best part of it was they appreciated that we got people online. You know, did we have 100% online? No, but we had probably 90% of our students connecting online, joining in Zoom meetings, and students and families loved that. That's what we did, and kids got to be with their classmates. So I think overall it went pretty well. And you can see what the staff commented also. And we've done a subsequent quick poll with the teachers to identify what additional training they feel like they need now, now that everything's over, just to reflect back of, you know, and we're working at making arrangements for that. I think of these, how long was it? Forever. It's been forever, hasn't it? Since March 19th, right? So, you know, just over 2 months worth of a pilot. So in my mind, that's how we're looking at this, so that we can reflect and say, what do we need to do differently? You know, obviously setting some expectations for attendance for students, like things were pretty loose. Because we had this hold no harm order from the governor. But I think we get, you know, everyone wants it to a higher stake. Like the students need to produce work. We need to hold them accountable. And so that's the direction we're heading.
That sounds great. I looked at the survey. I liked what I saw. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we are on to action items. Everybody ready?
Let's go.
Okay, item A, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the 2021 budget for Long Valley Charter School. I'll make a motion to approve it.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. Item B, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the 2021 budget for Thompson Peak Charter. I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favor by roll. Christian? Aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. Item C, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the well contract for the test well with Beckett Drilling. I'll make a motion to approve the contract.
I'll second it, John.
Thank you, John. All in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Okay, on to item D, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the special education plan.
Now, I know you have this in your packets, but I've invited Whitney, who's deep in this plan, to just tell us why, just a little brief summary.
So we got dinged on our reporting of students who go to college who had graduated from us, who received special ed services. After many phone calls and figuring out who was actually reporting the info, we have figured out that issue, and there was just some miscommunications along the way. And the 1 year that our data was pulled from, we did in fact have zero students go to college. So we had to make a plan and figure out how we're going to improve this. So we have come up with some different solutions, including a survey to catch our kids before they leave and make sure we've got their up-to-date contact information, as well as trying to establish some field trips, you know, providing we're all kind of back to normal, for students who have IEPs to go to our local community colleges, so Lassen or Feather River for our Portola students, and to try to get them hooked a little earlier to see if we can get them interested so we hopefully don't run into this issue in the future. So we have to meet every few months to check our data, see how we're doing, and go from there. So we've got all of our data for the 2019-2020 school year, and then I gathered it for our kids who graduated this year. So then we can follow up. If we can't catch them, we at least know kind of what their plans were.
Okay, great. Thank you, Whitney, for all that work. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Any questions?
I think we're good.
Perfect.
So, do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion, Wilma.
Thank you, Wilma. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Ricky. So all in favor by roll, Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. On to item D.
Thanks, discussion Wendy. Thank you. Sorry.
Discussion and possible action regarding the approval of rescinding the offer, on property located at 217 East Sierra Street in Portola.
So just, you know, things all fall into place, right? Last time we talked about putting this on the agenda. And I actually got my first email in months from AmeriGas saying, I think we're almost there. Can we just resolve these last couple of issues and you guys sign it off and let's go? Really? So I want you to know, I reached out to Lisa Kaur and asked, because we have 4 years in Portola to live there. And the attorneys feel like just having that office adjacent is not an issue for us for the 4 years. But their concern is if we don't get approval by Plumas Unified School District, we have to get their written okay to continue to live there. So I said, okay, well, if we have to get rid of the resource center where kids come and meet with their teachers, could the corporation, the nonprofit, own that other building and have an office that kids never come into? Like, could it continue to be my office, Jared's office, store some books there, do that kind of stuff where it's just storage and office space? And they were kind of like, yeah, I don't know. You know, that's really not been tested in court. They're definitely getting some pushback, but they were kind of, not a straight answer, but not a very positive one either. They thought it's still iffy. So when I let Jared know this was going on the agenda, because of course he's the site administrator in Portola. He might have flipped out a little bit on me.
Can you finish your food?
Jared, do you want to share your concerns?
So that building is the owner of where the majority of the staff parks our vehicles, especially during wintertime, because we're not allowed to park right along Highway 70 because of snow removal. So all of our parking ability gets lost if somebody else purchases it and says, you can no longer park here. The fact of if we're able to purchase it, even if it's just for the 4 years as storage, that would be amazing. I looked at all of the other commercial property in Portola, and the least expensive is $99,000. So even if we had to turn around and sell it, we're not going to be losing money on the purchase of it. The other thing I did was I reached out to the building inspector, our town planner, and I asked him if we'd have to get any other kind of certificate of occupancy, you know, or have to do any work to move into it, you know, just as storage and office space. And he said, as long as you're not having kids there, you have to do nothing else for it to be able to be occupied.
Because that was part of our concern was on the whole cash, because we had an estimate of needing to spend about $30,000 in that space, you know, to make it more usable. But if it's not used for kids, then we don't have to immediately do any of that.
Does anybody have questions, thoughts?
So just to clarify, the property that we were talking about where the gas company was, if we move forward with it, it would only be for storage and office space. We couldn't use it for anything else.
Not at this point, unless we want to spend some cash and upgrade the bathrooms. Is what the issue would be. You'd have to, in order to get an E occupancy for education, they would require some ADA upgrades.
And then the current location, there's no storage and no parking.
Right.
And we purchased automotive repair equipment.
Yep.
But now we don't have anywhere to put it.
Right.
But even if we bought the other property, we couldn't put it there because we can't have students.
We could just be storing it right now until we're ready. Yep.
Yeah.
I know it's, you know, with stepping into the where we're going now with budget cuts and what have you, you know, it was where my head was certainly to say maybe that's not the best expenditure today.
And it was 95,000?
95.
I guess I make a motion not to move forward with it, with purchasing it.
To not move forward, to rescind the offer?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, do we have a second? Okay, it sounds like the item's going to die if we don't have a second.
What does that mean, if it dies? That means we just don't purchase it? Bring it up again?
Our plan today, up to, unless you pass this, we are still moving forward on the purchase.
Oh, okay, so if it dies, we're going to purchase it.
Assuming we get everything all squared away and negotiated down, yeah.
John, do you have any thoughts?
No, I'm just listening. Just listening to what's going on here.
Larry?
There's no second.
What?
There's no second.
Right, you're not taking a vote right now. You're just asking if you have any input, anything you wanted to share.
So the action is to rescind.
Correct.
So basically, I made a motion to rescind it.
You did.
Right, okay.
I feel torn. I can see both sides of it.
Same here. And it's a little confusing that if nobody seconds it, basically we approve to go forward. So it sounds like we're approving to go forward without approving to go forward, if you know what I mean.
We've already approved to go forward.
Right, but to go forward without rescinding.
Well, it's just not changing what we're currently doing.
Right.
Right, I get it.
I guess for me, it just seems like we're not getting that much benefit for $95,000, and maybe we could regroup. I didn't quite hear what Jared said about other places he looked at, so maybe that's something, but maybe we could just regroup and maybe look for something different or something.
We can't look for anything else.
Okay.
And only because we're allowed one location. The only reason that building works is it's adjacent, so it becomes the location.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, that was the...
I missed that point because I thought the other building was away.
No, it's the office space we're in, the parking lot, and then the building. Yeah. So the attorney felt like we could justify that we haven't added a location, we haven't moved, do you know what I mean? That.
So then what would be the benefit, if we did that and continued on with the offer and say we got the property, how would we be able to use the automotive repair stuff that we already purchased?
At the point we're ready, we feel like we are ready to go forward and spend the $30,000 to do the upgrade for the bathroom, then we can get the e-occupancy and park. The point that I think Jared was making is we could just spend the 95 to buy it today. If we weren't ready to also spend the 30, we could put that off until circumstances change or we know what kind of money we're getting from the state.
So if we bought, and sorry.
No,
just
it's,
to make sure I understand.
Yeah.
So if we bought it for 95, we could immediately use it for storage and office space.
Right.
And then
I would go over there and work. I have nowhere to work right now. Yeah.
And then as time went on, we could add an additional $30,000, make the ADA requirements, and then we could actually use it for classrooms. And
everything.
Oh, okay.
Right. But I don't know how familiar you are with that area being on the highway, which is to me a great location.
Isn't it next to the Frosty?
No.
Oh, I thought it was right there. Mm-mm. And I'm picking up the wrong spot.
Okay.
That's why I didn't realize it was close to the existing.
Do you know where Dollard's gas station used to be?
I know where the existing school is, but I thought it was the other gas. Okay.
Nope.
Okay, then I'm taking my motion off floor because I understand it now. I think it would be beneficial since it's right there. I totally misunderstood that, so.
Thanks.
So nobody makes a motion. We just keep moving the way we are.
Yep.
Okay.
Sounds like it's dead to me.
Sounds like it. Sorry about that, everybody.
That's all right.
No, I'd rather go through.
So Sherry?
John?
With what Jared said, with the surrounding properties being $99,000, after this 4 years, we could sell and get our money out of it.
That's exactly what he's, and what Jared didn't tell you is he was told that the property that's 99, which is the least expensive, needs about $100,000 worth of work.
Oh my goodness.
And it's nowhere near us, right? So that's no good.
Okay.
Okay, so we're gonna go on to item F. Thank you, Jared. Discussion and possible action regarding the approval of a plan for reopening preparations during this summer. I'll make a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Wilma. All in favor by roll? Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Okay. Item G, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of discontinuance of expanded distance learning program in Shasta County.
I want to take a minute and say thank you for these last two items, really. Thank you. To be able to have a plan to go and have people working on it, that's excellent. Thank you. Okay, so I wrote you up a little thing, right, on
yep.
what I had been thinking. On here. And really, this was, I'm always willing to admit when I failed. And I would say this was a fail. What we were going to have to do, the nightmare that ensued about arranging for state testing for these couple kids up in Shasta County, because we were trying to expand, right? WASC had come in and said, you got to up your enrollment. So we said, okay, can we do what we do distance-wise out in our surrounding counties? And I'm going to say, no, we can't. I think that while a kiddo can live further away, and I'm just gonna, how far are you from the Susanville office?
Yeah. 60 miles.
60 miles. But you come 1 to 2 times a week at least, right, is what I see you.
Twice.
Right. I think that if somebody can't come once every 2 weeks at a minimum to come into our building, like this little kiddo had trouble with his computer. The mom could never photocopy stuff, to put it in the mail to send it, work assignments and stuff, would be 3 weeks of begging them to please submit it. Like, not having that physical contact opportunity. Like, obviously we've been doing distance learning now with a lot less contact, but it can't go on like that forever. That's not a good way to go. So it's in our charter that we could do a distance only with no contact. And I talked to the attorney on this one too. She said it is not significant enough that you have to do anything with your charter. You just need board documentation if you decide to do that. So I would really like to make that part of what we do, to remove that and just keep our requirement that you go see your teacher once every 2 weeks at a minimum.
Any other questions? Do we have a motion? I'll make a motion to approve it. I have a second.
I'll second.
Thank you, Ricky. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Thank you. Now we're on to item H, discussion and possible action regarding the approval of the COVID-19 report in lieu of our LCAP. Anybody have any questions for Sherry on that? Okay, I'll make a motion. Oh.
No, I said it seems kind of cut and dry, so I was gonna make a motion, but go ahead.
Oh. Okay, so I'll make a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Ricky. All in favor by roll. Christian, aye. Larry?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Wilma?
Aye.
Ricky?
Aye.
Okay, we got through this a lot faster than I anticipated.
That's what happens when people read their stuff and are ready. Can I, before you adjourn, I want to talk about the next meeting just briefly, okay?
Okay.
So we are going to have to put together a bunch of policies and plans on our reopening that I'm going to need the board to approve. So I just want to talk about timing for a minute. Like, there's no way by July 9th that's going to be together. Those guys are all off. We're going to need a couple weeks to put something together. So either we're going to need to plan already to have a second meeting, or we just have one meeting later in the month. And I was gonna propose July 23rd. That would move us past the point and still give us enough time to announce it to families, what we were gonna do or not do.
I think that makes sense, the one meeting on the 23rd.
And that's fine by me, but I'm assuming we're still gonna Zoom. And can you Zoom from far away, like Southern California?
Are you going to Disneyland, Ricky?
No, we're not going to Disneyland. It's our anniversary weekend. We were going to go down to Southern California to see some friends. So I don't have a problem with that.
Yep. The governor's order, which allows us to do this, has no requirement for location.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't have a problem. The 23rd, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, sure. As long as you can do that, I'm fine.
Everybody else?
Yes.
Okay. John?
Yeah, I'm fine with it if I'm not on a fire.
Okay. I'm good.
All right,
so let's move our meeting to the 23rd of July. And we'll be anticipating doing it Zoom-like. And then we can adjourn today at 6:53.
Thank you, awesome. Everyone.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Everybody have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.